Well, thank you so much. It's so wonderful to get to be with you all. Like your pastor said, my name's Olivia. And first of all, I just want to give a big thank you to your pastors. Just what aren't they such a blessing? Just aren't you thankful? They're keepers, huh? But, you know, just to be with just genuine people who love God, love people, to have leaders like that. And I can just tell that you all are just a family here. You know, we are the family of God. So even though you might not know me, I just want to say I love you. I believe in you, that, you know, I'm your sister in Christ. And, you know, we're just going to have a good time today magnifying Jesus. And I loved that praise and worship. That was beautiful. And our brother on the drums, man, he made me want to, like, I don't know, do some, I don't know, you don't want to see me dance, that'd be bad, but it was cool. To the youngins, they were, like, vibing and jiving, whatever. No, I'm a dork, but I loved it, and that was awesome. Love the praise and worship, that was so great. But in all the songs about God's amazing grace, you know, like your pastor was saying, you know what, I've been on what we've been calling the Amazing Grace Tour. And if you've ever seen that show, The Amazing Race, I don't know if you've heard about it, but it's all about, like, adventure and going across. And, like, kind of in my head, I'm a lot more intense than I actually am. Like, I think, oh, I could, like, scale that wall and I could do these crazy things. And I can't do any of that, but I would like to think I can. So this is, like, my Christian spinoff of The Amazing Race. And it's all about God's amazing grace. And I didn't realize y'all had screens here. I should have sent a picture of the special someone that we've been traveling with, and that's my 1972 bright yellow van. His name is Wallace Jacob Moore I. And you have to see a picture. You will understand. This is not your average car. Like, this is, you know, our little buddy here. Like, he has eyes and everything in the window. What do you call that? The window shield thing. We have, like, these minion eyes that go, and he's bright yellow. You can't help but to smile when you see him. And Wally brings joy all across America. So it's been a lot of fun. Started down actually, like, I've had the van now for about our year anniversary was this month, and if you want to come to the book table after, I'll show you lots of pictures. I don't have kids, but I have a van, so I'll show you that. But it's been a lot of fun. Started down in Miami, where we're from, and then have just gotten to travel, set off on this adventure of God wherever you open up a door, just to bring the love of Jesus to people, getting to minister. You know, I love groups like this and churches, but, you know, one of the things that we're most passionate about is just letting people know that you do not need a microphone. You don't need to have a pulpit to be used by God. That each one of us, we're a minister chosen by God, and he has you at the right place at the right time to be a blessing to someone else. You know, when life is all about him and when it's about them, that's when life is worth living. When we get our eyes off of ourselves, you know, I don't want to live a shallow life just about me, what I feel like doing that day. You know, just thinking about me, me, me. No, that's a shallow existence. But when we're living it like the way that you guys live, you know, eternal minded, kingdom minded, you know, we can't take anything with us to heaven except people, except souls. And, you know, the very reason that Jesus died, the very reason he gave his life, we want to make his dying worth our living. And, you know, you have the answer that the world is searching for. So as we're traveling, you know, the country in this bright yellow little VW van, which, you know, it used to be a problem not having air conditioning. Well, after coming back to Pennsylvania, I found out that's no longer a problem. You know what? Now, oh man, we have some stories. We tried camping the other night. You don't camp in the fall, apparently, and we don't even have, like, electric blankets or anything. I mean, we were trying to camp with, like, about 2 blankets, and Mom, should I tell them what happened? Who cares? I'm going to. But we ended up, we're at this campground about 2 hours away. Guys, we will talk about Jesus, don't worry, but I've got to tell you about my van. But, you know, we were like 2 hours away, ended up trying to camp in the van. I got my beautiful mom, Mother Teresa, with me, woot woot, and thankfully she's as adventurous as me, so when she was with me, talked her into camping with me. And, you know, I don't like the cold, but my mom really doesn't like the cold. I mean, she, like, cries in it, so I make fun of her, but... we were at this campground. It was about, I don't know, 12:30 at night. Ended up taking our little mattress pad that we had and the few blankets we had and the coats we were trying to put on us. We slept on the bathroom floor. Like, I'm not even kidding. It was intense, but there was a heater in there, so that was great. Yeah. So all about the adventure. We even cooked our eggs in the bathroom. can't tell these things. This is bad. But, you know, what I was saying before all of that is as we're traveling the country, you know, Wally is an awesome conversation starter. Wherever we go, like at a gas station, a campground, people want to know, hey, tell me about that van. What are you doing and all that. And it's just an opportunity to get to share Jesus with them, to get to share the good news. And, you know, I was thinking about how God wants to do that in our everyday life. He wants to use you right where you're at. You know, he has appointed you and anointed you for this time, for this season of your life. That, you know, I've heard that if life is ever boring as a Christian, then we're just not doing it right. You know, if life is ever boring, we're just not doing it right. Because Jesus came to give us life, life in abundance. The Amplified said life till it overflows, that you may have and enjoy your life. He wants you to enjoy every single season. And, you know, he talked about how in John 15 and John 16, that as we love other people, that his joy would be made full and complete in us, that there is this joy in loving someone else. When we get our eyes off of ourselves. You know, sometimes when we're going through a hard time, and that's when we're most tempted to just think about me and my circumstance, my situation, that's the very time that we should put our eyes on someone else. That's the very time that, how can I be a blessing to someone else? And when we do that, I believe that we just tap into a grace that's above and beyond anything we can imagine. That we're talking about God's amazing grace. Aren't you thankful that it is his grace? He has a grace for you, a grace for your place, a grace for the pace of the race. Wow, gonna rap, man. But you know what? We've got, you know, and don't let this fool you. I mean, I grew up with the best of the best gangsters, like, you know, down in the 305, if you don't know what that means. But come down to Miami, you'll find out. I used to rap in middle school. My last name's Morris. I would always be like, yo, 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 I'm Olivia Moe, and I had no friends. Now we know why. But hey, it's good to have fun. So, you know, God has grace for you. And I was thinking about it, just the scripture while we were singing. Let's see, right here in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. I love this verse, especially in the Amplified. You know, it kind of starts off, I love words. I know there are some math people. I'm probably more like, I just love words and all that. But I love how it kicks off the scripture with this phrase, "But he said to me." It's like, yeah, you know, all that might be going on. There might be, you know, all these things around you. Did you know, though, that there could be chaos all around you, but you can have perfect, complete peace on the inside? And, you know, just like Jesus, from that place of rest, from that place of peace, when he was out on that boat with his disciples, what did he do? Not from a place of striving and struggling, but from a place of perfect, confident rest in the God who loved him, his Father. The Bible says there's no fear in God's love. No matter what's going on around you, Jesus said, "I've given you authority. Behold, I've given you power. Nothing shall by any means be able to harm you." You know, we have authority in Jesus. Jesus said in John 14, verse 27, "My own peace I now give and bequeath unto you." Man, that's King James. "I bequeath to you my peace." But, you know, in the Amplified, he said, "Not as the world gives do I give, but my own peace." You know, there's that old song, "This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away." Well, this peace that you've got, the world didn't give it, and the world can't give it away. So don't give it away for free. You've got the peace of God. You know, you can't, sometimes we say, well, I just couldn't help but, you know, to sink into that fear. I just couldn't help but to worry. You know, thoughts of worry, thoughts of fear may try to come across. It's like that old saying that you can't stop a bird from flying over your head. But what if that same bird tried to build a nest in your hair? You know, you're not going to let it stay. You say, get out of there. And in the same way, thoughts of fear, thoughts of anxiety, those feelings might try to come, but we can resist it. Behold, Jesus has given unto us authority. He's given unto us power. God's grace is sufficient. Man, I haven't even read my verse yet that you guys turned to, but we'll get there. You know what? His grace is sufficient. He's already done it. And it's like John 14, verse 27. You know, he talked about, "Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." It says in the Amplified, "Do not let yourself be intimidated." You know, it's like John 17. He talked about how in this world, you're going to have trials. You're going to have tribulations. things. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't stop there? He said, but cheer up. Cheer up. You know what? God has a funny sense of humor. You know what? When the world would have you crying, God says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And you know what? I realized one day that when we get God's perspective, when we see things the way God sees it, when we get his perspective, we get his sense of humor. When you see things the way God sees it, no matter what you're going through in your life, it is not the end. God said that today is a new day. My grace is sufficient. My mercies are brand new. You can always begin again. You can always keep going, for this is not the end. Praise God. And just like he said, you're going to have trials. You're going to have tribulations. He said, but cheer up. Be a good cheer. The Amplified says, be confident, be certain, be undaunted. That sounds like an Acts where Paul said, none of these things move me. But none of these things move me. You know, it's good to say that when you don't feel like that. It's good to speak joy when you don't feel joy. You know, that's why the Bible says, let the weak say, I'm weak. Nope. Let the weak say, I am strong. Yep, that's good. Try it on again. I am strong. I am strong. You speak strength when you don't feel strength. You speak that. You yield to joy when you don't feel joy. You know why? Because joy is already in you. Peace is already in you. As I was preparing for today, just joy, joy, joy kept rolling over in my heart that you've got the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is your strength, not your own joy. You don't have to try to muster this up. And not a joy based on circumstances. No, it's God's joy. It's the Holy Spirit in you, the strengthener, your refresher, your comforter, your standby, your ever-present help in time of trouble. He is all that you need. Amen. And he lives in you. And here, now we can get to our scripture, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. So it's kind of like that scripture. He said, in this world you have trials and tribulations, but there is this but right there. He said, but he said to me, my grace, I love this, my favor. Aren't you thankful for God's favor? Woo, my favor and loving kindness and mercy is enough for you, sufficient against any danger. And listen to this, and enables you to bear the trouble manfully. For my strength and power are made perfect, fulfilled and completed, and show themselves most effective in your weakness. Therefore, I will all the more gladly glory in my weakness and infirmity, that the strength and power of Christ the Messiah may rest. Doesn't that sound good? May rest. Yes, may pitch a tent over and dwell upon me. You know, that makes me think just about that camping. Maybe if we would have had a little bit of a more insulated, warm tent, that would have been kind of nice. But that's like the grace of God just covers you. His grace is in you. His grace is upon you. His grace is working behind the scenes. Aren't you thankful that from that place of rest, not from striving, but you know what? We don't have to try to struggle. We can quit trying to get what we've already got. That victory already belongs to us. And, you know, it's like that encouragement about God's light. You know, the Bible says that in his light, we see light. In his light, we see light. That means that when we do what Hebrews 12, it talks about looking away from all that distracts, looking unto Jesus. Who is he? He's the author, but not just the author. He's the finisher. Aren't you glad? He didn't just start a good thing, but he is faithful to complete it. He is your faithful finisher. I love talking about the faithfulness of God. I love just getting alone saying, God, you are faithful. You are faithful. Recognize God's faithfulness in the big things, but also in the small things. God's faithfulness. I'm sure we all have stories about how faithful he's been. You know, it's good to say, God, you are good. But then personalize it. Say, God, you are good to me. You are good to me. You know, when you speak that way, you can't help but to get, you know, a skip in your step. Or, you know, you just, there's just joy that will rise up on the inside of you. We can be like David, who didn't wait for circumstances to encourage you. Because, honey, I'm going to get country. Honey, you know, circumstances, they're not always going to encourage you. But you can encourage yourself in the Lord. You can be your own best cheerleader. You can stir up the gift of God that's in you. It's like that big pot of chili, you know, if you don't stir it up, things settle down to the bottom. Well, you've got the goods on the inside of you. You just got to stir it up. How? Use the spoon of your mouth. Speak God's word. Say what God says about you. Stir up the gift of God that's in you. You know, it talks about that the acknowledging of your faith, that the communication of your faith will become effectual by the acknowledgement of every good thing in you by Christ Jesus. Acknowledge the good. Sure, there might be a lot of negative things going on, but why look at that? In his light, we see light. When we look unto Jesus, did you know when you give thanks, thanks is like a magnet, that gratitude is like a magnet. When you give God thanks, you attract more in your life to become thankful for. When you give God thanks, you know, it talks about in Romans, and you guys don't mind me jumping around a little bit, right? I mean, it's just flowing out of my heart. I feel like it's just easy. You guys are an easy bunch to preach to. Just pulling it out. You know, it talks about in Romans 1 how when they were ungrateful and recognized God, you know, not as God, that's when their foolish minds were darkened. When they were ungrateful. Thanksgiving, you know, is our key to living a life of victory, a life of light. In Matthew 6, it says, when your eye is single, your whole body will be flooded with light. That means there's a lot of other things to look at. But when your eye is single, what does that mean? When your eye is looking at one thing, and Hebrews 12 says what that one thing should be, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, that in his light, we see light. When we choose, there's lots going on around us, but when we choose to say, nope, I'm going to look to Jesus. Sure, there might be pain in my body. There might be those bills. It might look like this with the economy. But when you choose to say, my God shall supply all my needs in Christ Jesus according to his riches and glory, that God's favor is on my life. God's favor opens every door. He has me at the right place at the right time. We got to speak this way. And you know what? When you do, you can't help but to stir up that joy that's on the inside of you. You know what? When you give God thanks, and you know, it just leads the way. It says in the Bible, now thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph. And there's that word again. I like that word now, N-O-W, now, not until it looks better, not until you feel better. I was at one church down in West Palm, in the warm, you're going down to the warm soon, you know, down in West Palm, and there was a sign in the pastor's office that said, don't believe everything that you think. Don't believe everything that you think, every thought that crosses your mind. And you know what I was thinking about? Don't believe everything that you feel. Don't believe it. Don't, you know what? Feelings will lie to you. Feelings are fickle. Feelings will be up one day, down the next, crazy the next moment. Who cares? You know what? Feelings are crazy sometimes, but we have a firm foundation. We have God's word. Amen. And we can base our life not upon our experience, but upon God's word. Don't, you know, don't try to water down the word to match your experience. No, ask God to match your experience to his word. Amen. So, you know, he said, my grace is sufficient for you, that his strength and power may rest. Yes, may pitch a tent over and dwell upon me. You know, it just makes me think how in James, he said to count it all joy when you fall into diverse troubles and temptations. Count it joy. Yeah, it might, you know, we're not necessarily so excited about maybe what's happening, because you know what? The devil is bad, but God is good. Amen. We're going to keep it simple. The devil's bad, but God is good. So God doesn't ever cause anything bad to happen in our life. He never tries to teach us something with something bad. But you know what? He is so great and so merciful that no matter what the enemy tries to throw your way, God knows how to turn it around. And that's what we rejoice about. We just rejoice about that. You know what? When something tries to come our way, when those feelings, those thoughts come, whatever it might be, circumstances rise up, that's just another opportunity for God to show his grace in our life. That's just another opportunity. This isn't the end, but he's going to make it better than what it's ever been. Amen. He's going to turn it around. When we go through things, you should just let that add fuel to the flame of knowing I'm not going to give up. I'm not quitting here. We're going to stick it out. We're going to keep on going like Hebrews 10. That's supposed to be the end of my message. We'll get there too. But Hebrews 10:35 talks about don't throw away your confidence. It is a great recompense of reward. You're going to keep on going forward. And it says right here, I love this in verse 10. He said, so for the sake of Christ, I am well pleased and take pleasure in infirmities. And it goes on to say, for when I am weak in human strength, then I am truly strong. Listen to this. And they are able and powerful in divine strength. You are able and you are powerful in God's strength. Isn't that a good word? You are able. You're able to do it. You might feel like I just can't do that. No, you are able and powerful in God's strength. And you know what we're doing this morning? We are meditating upon God's word. Just allowing the full flavor of the richness of his word to saturate our being. You know, the Bible says how every scripture is God-breathed. And did you know one word from God can forever change your life, forever turn things around in you? You know, his word in Hebrews 4, he said, my words are, they're alive and they're full of power. They're active, operative, and energizing, the Bible says. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Well, what does a sword do? A sword cuts off what doesn't belong. When you speak God's word, you know, it's like John 15 says, you are now clean through the word I've spoken through, consecrated, set apart. Well, when you speak God's word, it's like that sword cuts off what doesn't belong. That depression, that bondage as a child of God, that doesn't belong there. Jesus has already set you free, whom the Son has set free. Any shame from your past, any regret, whatever it might be, that doesn't belong there. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So you speak God's word and it's like it separates you. It consecrates you from that old thing because, you know, whoever is in Christ is now a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the fresh and the new has come. So that depression, it doesn't belong. That discouragement, it doesn't belong. That darkness, it doesn't belong there. And you know what? I've thought about it once when I, just speaking from experience here, when I really have kind of slithered into some self-pity and just, you know, why me? Why, you know, why is this going on? Why is this taking so long? You know, I was just stirred. I've kind of got fed up with it of how much I was just yielding to this self-pity because it's easy to do. I mean, before you, there's life, there's death, but then Jesus gives you the answer. He says, choose life. It's like getting, you know, a pop quiz, but the teacher gives you, you know, the whole answer code. And Jesus has done that. He's like, there's always a choice. You know, you can have a self, you can going to a pity party, but I found out a praise party is a whole lot more fun, a whole lot more, a more powerful, refreshing way to live. Amen. You know what? The devil, he always tries to have just a counterfeit for the real thing. Ain't nothing like the real. What is that song? I don't know. But you know, there ain't nothing like the real thing. Just yielding to that praise party. And I remember that time in my life just thinking how, you know what? I don't have a right necessary to feel sorry for myself. I have a right to fight, to put on the whole armor of God, to stand strong in my place, to resist the devil, and he must flee. You know what? We have the sword of the Spirit. We speak the word of God. We have the shield of faith quenching every fiery dart. What's that? Those are those thoughts the enemy, like a dart, tries to throw to the bullseye of your mind. No, you quench those things. You say no to those things. How? Speaking what God says about you. He is faithful. In the midst of trials and tribulations, you have the answer on the inside of you. Did you know no matter what setback we go through, that God's comeback is always greater? Did you know before any problem came up in your life, that before the foundations of the world, you know, Jesus, the Lamb of God, was slain for us, the answer was already put in place before that problem ever came up. Amen. God knows how to transform and change anything in your life. And I want to share a little bit more just about my testimony, some personal things I've gone through of, you know, feeling like in that dark, hopeless place, feeling like there was no way, because I know how, you know, the enemy works. He doesn't have any new tricks. It's like you can't teach an old dog new tricks. You know, the enemy, I found out that he's all bark, but he's really no bite. He might talk a big talk. He tries to deceive us. This is what he uses so often, just distraction and deception. You know why? Because he knows the destiny that belongs to you. He knows the power that's in you. Sometimes he knows more than some Christians know. That's why we need to turn on the light. The entrance of God's word brings light. And it's like sometimes, usually when I preach, I say too much. I tell myself, I say embarrassing things. But, you know, I'm working on being not such a messy person. Someone told me that creative people are allowed to be messy. So if you're messy, just use that as an excuse. I don't think it's a great excuse. I need to learn how to be a little bit more. My mom's like, amen to that. But I need to be a little bit more organized. But sometimes, have you ever tried, like when you're in a rush, if you're trying to find something, and maybe you haven't, but I'm kind of weird. So I'd like, we'll try not turning on the light. And like, I'm going to run in there, grab it. I don't even have time to turn on the light. But then what happens if you don't turn on the light? You can't see what's already there. You start stumbling. You're bumping into things. It's taking a lot longer. Finally, you turn on the light. It's like, oh, there it is. You know, there's that sock I've been looking a month for, whatever it might be. So, you know, in the same way, when you turn on God's word, you find out who you already are. You just switch on the light. You see freedom already belongs to you. It's not trying to get something. No, it's realizing I'm already seated in Christ in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might. And you know that we are seated in him. And you know, whatever you're going through, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by the Spirit of the Lord, by the Holy Spirit. I love, oh gosh, it's almost Christmas time. Yay. I think Hallmark movies are already started. I think it started Friday officially. But, you know, I love the Christmas story in Luke chapter 2, you know, when it talks about, were you all reading that? But, you know, how it talks about when Mary, when she heard about God's plan, when the angel of the Lord came to her. And she asked, you know, a pretty good question. She said, how? You know, how will these things be? And I love the answer that the angel gave to her. He said, the Holy Spirit shall overshadow you. And it's the power of the Most High. If you ever ask how, you know what? You don't even need to know how it's all going to work out when you know who. When you know the who, you know he's got the how. You know he's got the how too. Amen. We know the who. It's like the old game, guess who? Well, it's the Holy Spirit. You know, he's working in you. And just thinking about that, how, you know, the enemy will try so often to pull us away, get us distracted off of God's plan for our life, trying to deceive us, thinking, you know, it's too late, whatever it might be. You know, it's the battlefield of the mind. He'll try to bring those thoughts. He'll try to use circumstances in our life, maybe disappointments in our past, maybe things that we've gone through, mistakes that we made, failures, whatever it might be, or maybe the way other people have treated us, things that they said to us that they shouldn't have said, whatever it might be. The enemy will use whatever he can. It's like the Bible says, he's roaming around like a lion, you know, searching for someone to devour. And I'm looking at that door, you know, it's slightly cracked open. Well, in the same way, the enemy, he's kind of, down in Miami at the beaches, they have these metal detectors. Have you ever seen that? And I think, like, do you really find anything? But I guess they do. You know, they're searching and they're looking, you know, for maybe some gold or silver. Well, in the same way, the enemy, he's searching. No, he's looking for? He's looking for a little opening like that, a little crack like that. Where? Right here in your thoughts. He's looking for a way in. That's why the Bible says in Ephesians, give no place to the enemy. What should we give place to? Well, Colossians says, you know what, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. But, you know, he's always looking for a way in. And the thing about it, like if I were to try to wedge my way through that little crack, what would happen to that door? It would become larger. That opening would become bigger. Well, in the same way, when we give place to the lies, the discouragement of the enemy, you know, that darkness he tries to bring, well, it's just like that door. It opens bigger. It opens wider. And in the same way, you know what? That's why it's easier to yield to a second thought of discouragement. It's like pity likes company. You know what? It's easier to yield to that second thought of discouragement, that third thought, that fifth thought. Then we just try to spiral us down. And, you know, I remember going through a really hard time in my life. Well, you know, I grew up in Miami, grew up in a ministry family, passionate about God, just excited about his plan. Started preaching when I was 15 years old. I'm 27 now. But, you know, it ended up going through some things in my life that I never would have expected. Kind of, I'm like a really spontaneous person. I think Pastor Rhonda probably knows that by now. It's been lots of changes in the plan. But at the same time, I'm like a weird spontaneous planner. I like to plan, and I actually ended up getting married at a pretty young age and going through a really painful divorce. And you know, needless to say, that wasn't part of the 5-year plan. That wasn't something that I wrote down like, man, can't wait for that one to happen. But you know, if we've been alive longer than 5 minutes, it's easy to find out that sometimes things happen in life that we weren't expecting, that we didn't have written down on that timetable. But you know, God is so much bigger. Just like we're talking about how the enemy, he'll use whatever he can. And then what happens with that? When we go through things, those bumps in the road, he'll try to bring condemnation. He'll try to bring shame, looking for that way and looking at what thoughts can I bring? How, you know, whatever discouragement it might be. And he's trying to spiral us down into this darkness, this deception. But you know, it's standing on this side of things. I realize that's the time to stir yourself up in God. Rather than throwing up your hands and saying, this is the end, you know, why me? It's all going to end here. No, that's the time to lift up your hands and say, God, you have a way. You're my way maker. But you know, I know that when you're in the middle of things, sometimes, you know, the enemy will try as harder not to get you to do that. And I will be transparent to say I wasn't praising God at that time. No, I was in this place of such hopelessness and defeat after, you know, going through that divorce, that passion and that vision I once had for life. It was like it was just completely drained out of me. All strength for living. You know, I was on the verge of wanting to take my own life. Thought, how could God ever use me now, type of thing? How could I ever be happy again? I was just a completely different person than who I truly am. It was, you know, definitely the darkest time in my life. Didn't even want to look at myself in the mirror. Just felt so ashamed, so much condemnation, so much guilt. And you know, it's like the enemy, he's trying just to wear us down, putting all these things on us. But you know, that's why Jesus said, come unto me, all who are weary, heavy laden, overburdened, come unto me and I'll give you rest. And something happened in my life that forever, you know, just changed my perspective, touched my heart, just a moment with God that I'll never forget. But you know, as I was wanting to move forward, not really knowing how, on my first missions trip since everything had happened, I was actually in India, and I woke up one morning and I got a text message from a friend that forever changed my life. You know what? God will get to you however he can. Wherever he sees an opening, he'll get to you. And you know, I got a text message from a friend who God had just given her a dream about me. And this dream was completely based on his word. But it was like we were walking somewhere when all of a sudden this man came up to us. And he knew about everything I'd gone through, my struggle to forgive myself, how I was right there wanting to take my own life. When this man, he stopped, he smiled, and he spoke these words to me. He said, she will not be remembered for that. She will not be remembered for that. And he said it again. She will not be remembered for that. Well, I just woke up in India. I'm supposed to be getting ready for the day. It takes me a long time to get ready. But you know, it's like, no way can I, because the presence of God just rushed into that place. And I really began to hear and picture Jesus shouting and declaring those same words of freedom over my life with that same compassion in his eyes, that smile on his face, without any hesitations or delay in his voice. He was boldly declaring over my life that you will not be remembered for that. You will not be remembered for that. You will not be remembered for that. And it was as if he was saying, you know, that's the very reason I gave my life. That's the very reason my blood was shed. And you know, I just realized it's time for us to have more faith and more confidence and more reliance upon God's love. His love that never changes, never quits, never goes away. Did you know that people might change? We change, but God's love never changes. His plan never changes. Romans 11:29, he says, my gifts, my callings, the plan I have for your life. And you know, it says it never changes without repentance. The Amplified says he never changes his mind about those to whom he sends his grace. Woo, that's a good place to shout. That's a good place to rejoice. He said that he never changes his mind about those to whom he sends his grace or gives his call. Hear this. Romans here. I'll prove it to you. Romans 11:29. For God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. He never withdraws them when once they are given. He does not change his mind about those to whom he gives his grace or to whom he sends his call. Romans 11:29 in the Amplified. Whew, that's a good one. We were talking about meditating God's word. You know, it's like a tea bag. I've been drinking a lot of tea. I'm not a coffee drinker. I'll do like the organic dark chocolate. That's my coffee in the morning. And then tea has been my best friend besides Wally in this cold weather. And you know, one thing about tea, when you take that tea bag, you don't just throw it in there and then throw it out of the water. No, what do you do? You saturate it. You let it sit. You stir it around. In the same way, take God's word and like that tea bag, let it sit. Be like, you know, in Psalms 1, that our delight, our desire is upon God's word. We meditate upon God's word day and night. You know, it's like with worry, it will try to come, you know, but rather than trying to think about that all the time, that's the time to say, no, put your eyes on Jesus. Focus on his grace. Talk about his goodness in your life. But he said he never changes his mind. So your failures came too late to change God's mind. How those people treated you came too late to change the plan of God for your life. Whatever happens, it came too late. And you know what? When we get this perspective, you know, you can't get a man or woman like that down. That no matter what tries to come, it's like that old punching bag. My mom used to have one as a kid. She would knock it down, that clown, and then what happens? It pops back up. And you know, 2 Corinthians 4, it talks about how you have that same spirit of faith. That same spirit of faith. I like that word, same. That same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, when it looked like it was too late, when it looked like all hope was gone, that same spirit of might that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, that because of that same spirit, they said, had they known, they would never have crucified the Lord of the glory. Well, that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the same spirit that will cause you to rise again. Though you fall, you shall arise. You might fall 7 times, you get up 8, you just get up again, you keep on going. And that same spirit will cause the enemy to say, had I known they weren't going to give up there, had I known that wasn't going to be the end, that he never would have wanted to attack you that way, because he knows that now, you know what, God's just turning it around in your life for your good. Amen. Let your life be a testimony to God's faithfulness. Be bold to tell others how good God's been to you, and he wants to be good to them, that he is a good, loving Father. He loves you. You got that same spirit of faith. That same spirit of faith that when Paul, you know, he got shipwrecked, got bit by a snake on an island, but he just shook that baby off. You can just shake it off. There's a song, I won't sing it. Shake it off. Just shake it off. Hey, you know. You know, you got to shake it off. Shake it off. You know what? Shake it off, because you've got the answer on the inside of you. You got the spirit of faith on the inside of you, causing you to rise again. Don't give up. This isn't the end. Amen? Amen. Keep on keeping on. Just keep on keeping on. And, you know, I remember being in that place of just hearing Jesus speak those words so beautifully over my life, just an intimate moment with Jesus I'll never forget. You know, that was, I knew in my heart, I couldn't just hear him say it, but I was just stirred in my heart just to speak the same thing out loud. You know, you got to see yourself in the picture. God's word in your mouth is just as powerful. It's God's word in his mouth. You get the same results as God. You're a spirit being created just like God, to operate like God. Before God saw light, he said, let there be light. You speak God's word, you'll see more light. And you know what happens? There's always light at the end of the tunnel. God's word is your light. He will lead you out. You might be in a dark place. Well, you walk in the light you have. You take the next step. Just like the Bible says, we have that same spirit of faith. We believe, therefore we've spoken. Well, that could be your very step to lead you out. You just keep speaking what God says. You give God thanks for another day. You give God thanks. We all have something to be thankful for. We all have something to rejoice about. There's always someone who has it worse off than we do. And you know, we have something to be thankful for. You know, if it was just the fact that we're going to heaven, that is more than enough. that we get to spend eternity with Jesus. And you know, he came to give you heaven on earth as well, not just holding on till we get there, you know, but no, he wants us to thrive, to flourish, not just survive, but thriving in this life, living life to the fullest. And you know what? It's never too, we're never too young to be used by God, but we're never too old. You know, it's always a new day and it's never too late. The dreams in your heart, I believe that today that God just wants to awaken and stir those things up to say it's not too late. It's never too late. Lazarus was in the tomb for, I think it was like 3 days or 4 days. And you know, when Jesus came, you know, Martha said, had you been here, you know, if you would have been here, it would have been different. Well, Jesus said, if you believe, you'll see the glory of God. You know, that's God's goodness. And it's like David, he said, I would have fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Dare to believe to see God's goodness. Romans 15:13, you could write this one down. It's a goodie. I promise you, you're going to want it. Romans 15:13, it says, may the God of your hope so fill you with all joy. Everyone say joy.
Joy.
And peace. In believing. Through the experience of your faith, that by the power, by his power, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound, and I love this picture, be overflowing, bubbling over with hope. That's the picture that God has for your life, not just surviving, but bubbling over with this hope, a confident, joyful expectation of good. Not hope like the world, not, well, I hope so, you never know. No, this confident hope of it is happening. This is happening in my life, that there is a brand new day. That every moment's brand new in Jesus. A new day is a new opportunity. No matter what tries to knock you down, well, God, how are you going to turn this one around? It's just, it's an exciting adventure with God. You know, really quickly, let me finish saying what I was saying about, you know, we can't just hear God say something. Well, in that place, I began saying, you know, I spoke those same words over my life. I closed my eyes and I began to say, God, I will not be remembered for that. I will not be remembered for that. You know, just meditating upon that. The more I said it, it was like the chains of my past were just crumbling, were just broken, deprived of their power, turning on the light, showing me that I'm already free, saw that there's more in my life to live. I became more determined than ever to live it, to let others know that, you know, God is a good God. He is a faithful God. I was journaling all that down, closed my journal. God said that would be the title of your first book. And glory to God. You know, this is out, just getting to take this with Wally the wagon and everything, just a message of hope. But you know what? Whenever we go through things, that's the time to say, God, how are you going to turn this one around? Just look into him, bubbling over with hope. Jeremiah 31, it talks about being radiant with joy over the goodness of the Lord. I love that phrase, radiant with joy over the goodness of the Lord. That chapter talks about how that your soul would be like a well-watered garden. God wants us healthy spirit, soul, and body. He said that you may prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. And you know, God's word, it's like we feed our bodies. Hey, we have no problem doing that, right? We have no problem feeding our bodies. Well, we need to feed our spirit. A strong spirit sustains you in bodily trouble, Proverbs 18 says. You know, we need to replenish our soul with the words that are spirit and life. Romans 8:6, it talks about to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Let's not work death in our soul. That's why the Bible, the enemy will always try to get us looking back. But, you know, out of everything God said to Lot and his wife when they were escaping Sodom and Gomorrah, he said, do not look back. Do not look back. It's a brand new day. Don't work death in your soul. No, let your soul be refreshed with the hope that's in God, that you may hope in God, confident in God. And there is so much joy in believing. Really quickly, you know, I remember because it was, what, yesterday? 2 days ago? No. I remember that. But, you know, these past few days have been quite the adventure with Wally and everything, to say the least. Yes, good old Wallace Jacob Moore. You know, so Wally was supposed to be here. And looking back, you know, it's kind of humorous now. But, man, in the moment, so we're leaving the same campground that we slept in the bathroom at. Great day. Got 2 hours of sleep that night. You know what? The next morning we're driving off and Wally doesn't like the hills too much. And I can be kind of persuasive, kind of push him to go on some of these hills. And you know, as we're trying to make it up this one hill, well, he starts slowly, you know, he's manual and everything. And I think like we're in first gear, not really getting much power at all. Wally starts rolling backwards and we kind of get stuck in a little, not too bad of a ditch, but we're stuck. And, you know, his power's not going back on. Well, thankfully, a ranger was driving by, got us, you know, jumped and everything, got going. And we're driving about maybe 25. I was so happy. My mom just flew in like a few days before that. So thank God she was there with me and everything. And started driving like maybe 25 minutes. And now this wasn't a little hill. This was more like a mountain, like incline, especially to us being from Florida. Like this was a much larger one. And we're going up it, but the same thing starts to happen where he is really not getting this power. And we start, you know, rolling backwards and put the emergency brake on. We're just kind of staying there, praying and staying there. And, you know, just staying calm, just knowing that God's going to work this out. He always has. He always does. You know, that's something I like to say. And maybe you want to adopt it too. But I'd love to say everything always works out for me in Jesus' name. Everything. When you don't feel like it, you got to say everything always works out for me. And you just can't help but to put a smile on your face when you say that, when you choose to believe that no matter what happens. And there we are kind of stuck on this incline. Well, you know, God is so faithful. I'm telling you, it's amazing. His faithfulness. Just right then, this guy drove up behind us and obviously he could tell something was wrong. But you know, he came out of his car. He looked like official. He actually worked at one of the local prisons. So, you know, he was like, he knew what he was doing and everything. And he jumped out of the car, asked if we needed help. Well, he directed traffic for us. This is just a stranger. We don't know him at all. But it's just the grace of God. He directed traffic for us, led us down that incline and said, why don't you just pull into, you know, there's a yard like right there. He's like, why don't you just pull in by these mailboxes? Well, we literally rolled into the nicest man's yard that I've ever met. It's a complete stranger. And I'm just like, wow, out of every place that could have happened like that, God just set that up. He knew, you know, he just had the answer already in place. You know, this, the man that led us down the hill, he had to get off to work, but we thought, oh, maybe we're out of gas. Wally's gas gauge kind of goes all over the place. Can't really tell all the time that maybe that's it. And then, so we're like, well, we might need gas. And then this man runs out of his house. He said, I've got you covered. He had a tank of gas. He said, I just filled it up for my four wheelers. He had, and you know, had the right grade of gas and everything, put that in. And then, you know, it's Wally still wasn't working. So then, he's like, you know, my father-in-law, he's like one of the best mechanics around. And he's like, I'll run down to his shop. This is a man we have never met him before, okay? And he just kept saying, you know what, there's enough bad people in the world, I just try to be one of the answers. And you know, just a kind-hearted, a good Samaritan man that God had in place, the faithfulness of God, the favor of God. Isn't that amazing? You know, he drove off. This is his day off. He's taking hours. I'm not kidding. Like, he spent hours with us of just drove off, got the battery charger thing, tried that, you know, just was doing so much, going above and beyond. You know, long story short, you know, Wally, you kind of need to have like a specialist VW mechanic, and there's some good ones down in Florida. So just really had peace in my heart that this might be just going to take a little bit of a different direction. You know, I was thinking that I was going to continue north, but I think maybe this is part of Wally's way of saying, take me down to the sunshine, get me out of these hills and these mountains. So we're going to listen to Wally, and you know, he's kind of smart. So we're going to get Wally, you know, shipped down to Florida. But you know, it's amazing because this man that God just set up, you know, he's just going to run off with Wally. He's got the keys. He's waiting for the shipper to come. That might sound crazy, but definitely just had really peace about it. Just know that this is the right thing. I mean, this guy, he ended up driving us to a hotel, took me to the grocery store, like above and beyond. Like, that is the favor of God. Like, is this an angel, man? Like, no, but you know, just the favor of God. the faithfulness of God. God is faithful. And you know, even when something comes up that maybe you weren't expecting, like, guys, I really wanted to keep on going, like, with all the travels, but you know, there's actually a peace and a joy in my heart that, you know, this will be good. I'll do some Florida ministry and traveling and go up, you know, more of the southern states during all the winter. And I just think about how, you know, no matter what we come across in our life, things we weren't expecting. All right, when I was going through that painful time of just thinking that would be the end, you know, God is always right there. He's so good. He's saying, I've got you. You're in the palm of my hand. I've got the answer in place. We can just trust him. He is that loving father. I love Romans 15, how it talks about how we don't have the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have the spirit of adoption by which we cry out, Abba, Father. Daddy God, meaning I belong. You belong. You belong. God's got you. You're not forgotten. You're not abandoned. No, his eye is upon you. His hand is on you. That you are just, you know, he said that he would uphold you by the strength of his right arm. That, you know, no matter when we fall, God lifts us up again. He's right there holding us up. It's his strength. It's his love. And it's his favor, his faithfulness that always makes a way for us. Aren't you glad? So we can rejoice no matter what comes our way. No matter what the enemy tries to bring, God is so much bigger. God is so much greater. And I was just thinking about some joy scriptures. If we want to turn together to, I can never even say this book, but Habakkuk. Ah, I think I said it. Habakkuk, it's like right close to before the New Testament. But it's page actually exactly 1,200, 1,200, Drew. That would be my bid if I was on The Price is Right. I just think 1,200 sounds like a really good bid. Like I would go for no matter what it is. Like, or I mean, there's always the $1. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I love The Price is Right. When I'm not at the campground sleeping in the bathroom, I will watch The Price is Right. It's always sad when it's a weekday and it's not on. But yeah, so if your Bible's like me, go to 1,200. All that, that's my corny joke. All right, going on. Habakkuk chapter 3. This is so good, right in the end of this chapter. And here it is. He's giving an account saying, you know, in verse 17, he says, though the fig tree does not blossom and there is no fruit on the vines, though the product of the olive fails and the fields yield no food, though the flock is cut off from the fold and there are no cattle in the stalls, it says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will exalt in the victorious God of my salvation. I think I got this note from Brother Jerry Savelle when he was preaching. I have it written down in my Bible. It says, a great example of spiritual maturity. When everything else looks like it's falling apart, you are still able to rejoice in the Lord. I'll say that again. A great example of spiritual maturity when everything else looks like it's falling apart and you are still able to rejoice in the Lord. It says right there, you know, this guy, he's going through all these hardships. He's saying the fig tree's not blossoming. There's no fruit on the vines. You know, it looks like the flock shall be cut off from the fold. The fields are yielding no meat. But he said, yet, it's always our choice. It is a choice to rejoice. Amen. It is a choice. And when we do, when we yield to the joy that's in us, when we yield to the peace, give place to the peace that's in you. Give place to it. Don't give place to the worry, the anxiety. No, you know what? You just shine the light of God's word in that moment of when the fear, when the anxiety tries to come. Speak out God's faithfulness. Tell yourself, you know what? Like the Bible says in Psalms 103 my soul that we will bless the Lord. I butchered that. Sorry. But you know about rejoice. Let's just turn there, guys. I'll turn there real fast. Psalms 103. Hold on. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Don't forget it. The enemy, he wants you to forget it. He wants you so focused on something else that you forget. That's why the Bible says, I would remind you, stir up the gift of God that's in you. You know, we need to be reminded of these things. Who forgives all your iniquities? Who heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. He will, you know, fulfill whatever you're speaking. That's what you're going to have. And you should be satisfied by the fruit of your mouth. Speak out God's word. He watches over his word to perform it in your life. And I love that in verse 4, he said how, you know, well, in verse 3, he forgives every one of your iniquities, heals every one of your diseases. Verse 4, who redeems your life from the pit and corruption, who beautifies, dignifies, and crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy. And verse 5 says, who satisfies your mouth with your necessity and desire. Listen to this, at your personal age and situation. Every season of your life, God's got you covered. Every desire of your heart, you know, as we delight ourselves in God, you know, he gives us the desires of our heart. You know, he knows the secret petitions of your heart. But he said at your right there in verse 5, who satisfies you at your necessity and desire at your personal age and situation. I just believe that's a word for us. No matter what you're going through, God has a tailored fit answer. He's a very personal, ever-present help. And you know, it says right there that your youth, he satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Listen to this in the Amplified. Strong, overcoming, and soaring. Strong, overcoming, and soaring. I'm happy I messed up that scripture so we could actually read it word by word. Strong, overcoming, and soaring. That's the picture God has for you. Strong, overcoming, and soaring. Speak that, see that for yourself when you don't feel it. Just like this man right here in Habakkuk, where it says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. He's telling himself, I will joy in the God of my salvation. It's like Paul, he said, I will pray in the spirit. I will pray with my understanding. Tell yourself, you know, we're going to pray right now. I'm going to stir myself up. I'm going to build myself up on my most holy faith. I'm going to charge up my spirit praying in, you know, other tongues. And he said right here, the Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds feet. He will make me to walk upon my high places. I love the Amplified. He says, the Lord God is my strength and my personal bravery, my invincible army. He makes me feel like hinds feet. And And will make me to walk, not to, He said, he will make me to walk, not to stand still in terror, but to walk and make spiritual progress. God's plan is not for you to stay stuck in that place of regret, stuck in that place of shame. No, he said, but to make progress, to make progress. Keep on keeping on. Keep on going forward upon my high places. And you know, you keep on going forward. Joel, I'm going to just, we're going to wrap this up. So I'm just going to keep spinning out some scriptures to you guys. You grab a hold of whichever one you want. All of them. That would be good. I'll take them all. But you know, Joel 2:25, he talked about how God will restore unto you the years. God will restore unto you the years. I love the CEV version. That's the contemporary English version. The CEV. It says, in Joel chapter 2 in that version, he said, tell the soil to celebrate. Tell the soil. It was kind of that same picture. There weren't any crops. There wasn't any reason in the natural to celebrate, to rejoice. But it's like, tell your soul ahead of time, we're going to rejoice. Why? Because we see things from God's perspective. We see what's ahead. We know there's a stirring in our heart. Maybe you don't know how, you don't know when, but you know who, and you know he's got a way. You don't have to be moved by what's seen. You know God's working behind the scenes. He's turning it around for your favor. You know, when you feel discouraged, just turn around and your house and say, God's working it out for my good. He's turning it around, you know, and again and again and again. He will always cause everything to work out for you when you believe that. Amen. That is his plan for your life. And you know, it says right there to tell the soil to celebrate. And then in verse 25 in that version, he said, for the Lord your God, he will make up for the losses. The Lord your God, he will make up for the losses. Isaiah 61 talks about how, you know what, for your shame, you shall have double. You shall have a twofold recompense. That's why, you know, like James said, rejoice when you fall into diverse troubles and tribulations. Why? Because God knows, you know, he's going to turn this thing around for your good. The enemy's going to wish he never messed with you. Because when you have that spirit of faith, you yield, give place to that spirit of faith, which is the spirit of victory, the spirit of an overcomer that doesn't quit, doesn't give up, that the joy, and it is God's joy that will enable you to do this. The joy of the Lord is your strength. That's why the enemy, he's after your joy. He's after it. You know, we got to guard our heart above all else that you guard. Guard your heart. Protect your heart. And where is the joy? It's like the old song. It's the other old song about, I got the joy, 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 joy down. Where? Down in your heart. Guard your heart. Protect your heart. Because where? It's down there. Down in your heart. The joy of the Lord. Guard your heart. Guard your thoughts. Set your affections on things above and keep them set. You know what? That's where the real life is. That's where, you know, life is worth living, when we realize that God's got you. He's got you. So you know what? He said, I will make up for the losses. Isaiah 43. I love it. In verse 18 and 19, and even before that, he says how, you know it, that he will make a way for you. Verse 16, thus says the Lord, who makes a way for you when it seems like there is no way? Well, you know the way maker. He makes a way for you through the sea and a path through the mighty waters. He's taking you to the other side. Just like when they were on that boat, Jesus said, let's go to the other side. Storms came, but you know what? You don't have to doubt God's love. It's like the disciples said, God, Jesus, do you even care about us? Here we are perishing. But Jesus came up from that place of peace and rest, spoke peace to the storms, peace to the situation. You know what? Even in the midst of those things, Jesus was in the boat with them. It's good to know Jesus is in your boat. He's taking you to the other side. Rise up. Use your authority. You know that God always loves you. And he said, do not earnestly remember the former things, neither consider the things of old. One translation says, forget about old history. Quit going over old history. Forget about it already. Behold, I'm doing a brand new thing now, right now. He said, do you not perceive it and know it? Will you not give heed to it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Maybe you feel like you've been going through some dry seasons. God said, this is your time. I'm making rivers in the desert. The seeds that you've sown, the seeds that you planted. You know what? If you do not faint, you will reap a harvest. Galatians 6:9 says, do not faint. Don't grow weary in well-doing. But when you don't faint, you know, that's when you always win. You don't quit. You always win. You just keep putting one foot in front of the other, not in your own strength, but it's the joy of the Lord is your strength. The Holy Spirit, he said, fear not, I've redeemed you. I've ransomed you by paying a price instead of leaving you captives. I have called you by your name. You are mine. God is faithful. And we're going to end with this, but in Hebrews, I think we got you loaded up for bear now with the word of God, but I don't even know what that means. It sounds cool though. Hebrews chapter 10, you know, it talks about, you know, in verse 35, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense and reward. The Amplified, I told you this was at the end of my message. The Amplified says, do not therefore fling away your fearless confidence, for it carries a great and glorious compensation of reward. I love in the Message translation, you know, it talks about how it is, God was saying to them, it is still a sure thing. He said, don't throw it all away now. I want to encourage you. You can look that up, Hebrews 10:35 in the Message. You can just Google it. Ask Siri on your phone. If you don't know what that means, ask your grandkid. No. No, I'm just kidding. We're having fun with you guys. But you know it, Hugh. Oh, gosh. Hebrews 10, verse 35, going on to Jesus. Hebrews 10:35, you know what he said? Do not, therefore, fling away your confidence. It has a great and glorious compensation and reward. The Message says, it is still a sure thing. So don't throw it all away now. It might be like, you might be wondering, why have these things not happened yet? It's too late for those dreams. It's too late for me to do that. Did you know it is never too late to live the life you've always wanted? It's never too late to step out and to stir up those things that are in your heart, that when you step out, God can do more in this season of your life than what's happened in the past 5 years combined. That when you step out in faith, nothing is impossible for the one who believes. He is your way maker. I believe that he is just speeding up acceleration in your life, that you can believe God for that. You step out in faith. God loves faith. He honors faith, and he loves you. And you know, he makes a way for you. You step out on the word of God, what he has spoken to your heart. He's saying it is still a sure thing. Don't throw it all away now. He's saying you need to stick it out. Stay with God's plan. Listen to this. So you'll be there for the promised completion. You need to stick it out. Stay with God's plan. That growth, that increase, those dreams, whatever it might be, you need to stick it out. Stay with God's plan. It's like that old saying, when the tough get going. I don't even know how that goes. You know it. Something like that. Yeah, that's it. You guys know. You know, you got to, that's it. You got to keep on going. Yeah, loaded for bear. Let's get all those sayings that mean nothing. I don't know. It's like when the rubber meets the road. There's one. You know, we got to keep on going. That's when you see what you're really made of, and you know what you're made of. You're made. It's the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, the Spirit of God. You know it. For just that your life is a testimony to his faithfulness, his goodness. Amen. That he's never disappointed you. He never has. He never will. Keep on going. Let's stick it out. We're staying with God's plan. Amen. And if we could just pray together, would that be okay? As we close this up, I just believe that the Spirit of God has spoken to your heart. Like we said, one word from God can forever change your life. And it's like a sponge. When it gets full of that water and pressure tries to squeeze it, water comes out. Well, you know what? We just keep ourselves built up on God's word, that when pressure tries to come, God's word will come out of you. His perspective is what you'll see. Amen. So let's just lift up our hands to God right now. You can just close your eyes. Let this be an intimate moment with Jesus. Well, Father God, you know, first of all, Jesus, we just thank you for the life that you came to give us. And we thank you that the Bible says that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God, we know that just coming to church is wonderful and good, but it is personally just calling on you that just enables us to be saved, to have this life, to have this peace that you came to give us. Jesus, you died for us. God raised you from the dead. So if we could just, before we pray about other things, if as a church family, you know, maybe even if you've heard the gospel a long time, but today is your day just to call on Jesus. As a church family, let's just say this out loud together. Just say, Jesus, I call upon you. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I give my life to you. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for taking my place. God raised you from the dead. And now that same Spirit lives in me. And I'm moving forward. I'm saved. I'm celebrated. And I'm loved by you, God. And I love you, Jesus. I give you my life. Amen. You know, if you pray that for the first time, you know, this is your fresh start in the name of Jesus. But let's also just go on to pray. We can just keep looking to Jesus right now. Father God, I just want to pray for each person here in the mighty name of Jesus, whatever they're going through, God. You know, personal age, desire, season of life, what they're going through, God. I just thank you, Lord, that you minister hope to them in Jesus' name. Fresh hope. Just receive that right now. Fresh hope and vision, strength for living, the joy that he restores into you, the joy of your salvation. Joy is right there. Stir up that joy. Yield to that joy. And God, let each one know how personally and beautifully loved they are by you. Give just fresh vision to the blind. Sight to see, God, how you're going to turn this around. Just an anticipation, God. This is not the end. I thank you, Lord, for just amazing grace upon their life, the anointing that destroys every yoke of bondage. I thank you, Lord, it's your anointing right now in the name of Jesus, healing hearts, restoring souls, comforting their hearts, God, and just causing those dormant dreams to stir up fresh vision. We speak that right now In Jesus' name. Whew, a fresh passion, enthusiasm for life, God. That those who have felt like they've lost their zest for life, God, you say, this is not the end. And you just pour out even more in them. They give place to that, God. How beautiful you love each one. You give beauty for ashes, and the best is yet to come. God, they're strengthened not to give up. You give strength to the weary. To them who have no might, you increase strength. You give power to the faint. You do that now, God. And we thank you for it, God. We're going to stick it out. It's still a sure thing. We're going to stick it out. And whoo, God, we thank you. We will see the promised completion. In the mighty name of Jesus, if you believe that, just shout amen.